This week's Parsha is Parshas Beshalach, and in Parshas Beshalach we have the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. And on the splitting of the sea, there's an interesting Medrash Rabbe in Parshas Vayeshev, Parsha Pei Zayin, Simon Ches, where the Medrash Rabbe is commenting on the Pasuk Vayeshev, Perek Lamedtes, Pasuk Yud Beis, where there, when Yosef was a slave and he was working in the house of Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar was trying to seduce him. There is written, "Vatispeseyo bivigdoi," that she caught hold in his garment. Leimoi saying to him, "Shichbo imi, live me." Vayazev bigdoi. Yosef left his garment in her hands. Vayonos, and he fled. Vayetze achutza, and he went outside. Meaning that Yosef, instead of staying there and confronting her, decided to run away. And he left his garment behind. So the Medrash says, Shimon Ishkito in Omar, Shimon Ishkito says, Bishus Atzmoisav Shel Yosef, Nikra Hayom LeYisrael, that because of the merit of the bones of Yosef, therefore the sea split for the Jewish people. Hadol Dechsiv, this is the meaning of the verse. In Tehillim chapter 114, we say in the Halal, Hayom Ra Vayanois, the sea saw and ran, Bishus Vayazer Bigdoy, because he left his clothing Bayoda in her hands, Vayonos, and he ran, therefore the sea split and ran. This is a Medrash Peliya, this is a perplexing Medrash, because the Medrash somehow ties in the fact that Yosef ran away to the fact that the sea ran away, and the Medrash ties in the same language as written by Yosef, Vayonos, that he ran away to the sea, running away, because in the sea it's also written by Yonos, but we have to understand the meaning of this Medrash. In previous classes we gave many interpretations on this Medrash, and this week we are going to give other interpretations on this Medrash. The first interpretation that we are going to start with is the interpretation of Sefer Emunah Sitecha from Rav Wolfson, where there, before Rav Wolfson gives his interpretation on this Medrash, he asks other questions in regards to this week's Parsha. The first question that he asked is that seemingly what is written in this week's Parsha, in chapter 13, verse number 19, where it says, Veikach Moshe Esatzmo Es Yosef Imoy, Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef with him, Ki Ashbeya Ishbiya Es Bnei Yisrael Leimoy, because he surely made the Jewish people swear, Pokoy Divkoit Elikim Eschem, Hashem will surely remember you, then you should bring up my bones from here with you. Meaning that Yosef made the Jewish people swear that when Hashem will redeem him, that they should take his bones with them to Eretz Israel. And since the Jewish people are now leaving Egypt, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is taking the bones of Yosef with him. But the problem is that this actually happened before the Jewish people left Egypt. Then technically, it should be written in the last week's Parsha. Because last week's Parsha, we have the Jewish people being redeemed and leaving Egypt. And the bones of Yosef were found even before the redemption. Because there is a Yalkut Shimoni in the end of the Zoyis HaBrocha, in Remes, Tov, Tov, Kuf, Samachay, where there the verse that says, Va'ikvor Oysa Bagai, that Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu, the guy, the Yalkut Shimoni asks, in what did Moshe Rabbeinu merit that Hashem should himself bury Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Medrash says that while the Jewish people were busy with the loot of Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu was going around the land of Egypt for 3 days and three nights looking for the coffin of Yosef, and he could not find it. Serach Bazosher saw Moshe Rabbeinu that he was going through such effort. Then she asks Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you looking for? So Moshe Rabbeinu tells her that for 3 days and three nights I'm going around town looking for the bones of Yosef and I cannot find it. Then Serach Bazosher tells him, come with me, and she showed him a place in the river and she said that in this place the Egyptians made a lead box and they put Yosef inside the box and they sunk it into the Nile River because they knew that Yosef made the Jewish people swear that when they leave Egypt, they will take his bones with them. and the stargazers of Paroi advised Paroi that he should bury Yosef into the Nile, like that they won't be able to find the bones of Yosef, they won't be able to fulfill the promise that they made, then they will never leave Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu stood by the river and said, Yosef, Yosef, you made the Jewish people swear that when Hashem is going to remember them, then they should take you with them. Give honor to the God of Israel and do not delay their redemption. Automatically, the Medrash says that the coffin of Yosef started moving and came up like a reed, the coffin of Yosef on his shoulders, and they were able to leave Egypt. So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, this kindness that you made may be a small kindness in your eyes, but in my eyes it is a huge chesed, a huge kindness, that everybody was busy in the gold and silver, and you were busy taking care of Yosef. Therefore you will merit that I myself will take care of you. Comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu merited being buried by Hashem personally, because he himself personally took care of the bones of Yosef. The interesting thing about this Medrash is that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for the coffin of Yosef for 3 days and three nights. Then according to this, we must say that the 3 days that he was looking was during the period of darkness. Because according to the Cheshbon of the Ramban, where the Ramban in chapter 10, verse number 4, says that the plague of Arba was in the month that they were redeemed, that means that Arba was in the month of Nisan, because the Ramban brings the accounting that Barot, the hail, was in the month of Adar, that means that Arba was in the month of Nisan, that means that the first 7 days of Nisan was Arba, and then right afterwards was the plague of Choshech, of darkness, and we know that there was 6 days of darkness. That means that the plague of darkness finished Erev Pesach, the night before Pesach, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says that tomorrow, Kachat Zoiz Alayla, like the midnight today, Hashem is going to smite all the firstborn of the Egyptians. That means that the 3 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for the coffins was during the 3 days of darkness, where he didn't know where it was. And then Serach Bas Osher told him where the coffin of Yosef is. That means that this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu took the coffin of Yosef should have been written last week, where we discussed there the plague of darkness, because it's right during the plague of darkness where Moshe Rabbeinu found the coffin of Yosef. Sefer Emunas Itecho says that we must say that the reason why it's written here that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef with him is because, since it is going to be needed, the bones of Yosef, in order for us to be able to go through the sea, because the sea only split when it saw the bones of Yosef. Therefore, it's mentioned in this week's Parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef, and then in this week's Parsha it's going to be talking about Kriyas Yamsif, about the crossing of the sea. That implies that if Yosef's bones would not be there, then the sea would have not split for the Jewish people. Sefer Emunas Itecho asks, how can that be? We actually have a Medrash Rabbe in this week's Parsha, where the Medrash Rabbe, Parsha of Aleph, Simen Vav, on the verse of Shmos, chapter 14, verse number 16, where it says, Va'ato, and you, Horemes Matcho, raise your staff, and Eteyes Yotcho, Alayam, and bend your hand over the sea of Koheyo, and split him. The Medrash says, in the name of Rabbi Lozor HaKaper, that Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, Loi kach amarto, didn't you say, Shein hayom nases yabasha, that you will never make the sea dry? As it's written, the verse in Yirmiyahu chapter 5, Asher samti chol gvul hayom, that you swore that you're only going to make the sand the border for the sea, and you're not going to allow the sea to dry up. On that Hashem answered Moshe Rabbeinu, Loi karoso mitchilas haTorah, that you didn't read from the beginning of the Torah. What is written in the beginning of the Torah? Meaning, on Bereishis chapter 1, verse number 9, there it's written that Hashem told the sea, Yikavu amayim mitachas haShomayim, normally translated as the waters should gather underneath the sky, el mokom echot to one place, v'teroi hayabasho, and the dryness should be seen. So the Medrash says that when Hashem said ikovu amayim, that let the waters be gathered, that's the way we translate, he says that the translation is actually from what is written in Yeshaya chapter 40, verse number 31. There the verse says, V'koyvei Hashem yachlifu koyach, that those who hope for Hashem will be renewed strength. So we see that V'koyvei is the translation, those who hope. So it says, Ikovu amayim, that you should hope for one day where you are going to be dry. Meaning, not that you should gather, but also that you should hope for one day that you are going to be dry, meaning that Hashem already established a condition in creation that when the Jewish people are going to cross the sea, that the sea will split for them. And the Medrash says that this is the meaning of the words that's written afterwards in chapter 14, verse number 27, where it says, "Vayet Moshe siyad al hayam," Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his hand over the sea, "Vayosha vayam lifnois boiker leisanoi," and the sea went back towards morning to its proper strength. Umitzrayim nasim likroiso, and the Egyptians are running towards it. Vaynar Hashem es Mitzrayim b'toch hayam, and Hashem churned the Egyptians inside the sea, where there the word leisanoi to its proper vigor, it's played with the words, and we read it lit noi, with to its condition, which clearly implies that Hashem made a condition in creation that when the Jewish people come, the sea will split. Meaning that the promise that Hashem made that the sea won't be dry again, it is only a promise not for the Jewish people. But that the sea should split for the Jewish people, that was already a promise even before creation, meaning as a condition of creating the sea and dry land. Hashem already told the sea that when it comes a time, the sea will split. Therefore, Hashem told now Moshe Rabbeinu that now is the time that I told the sea to split. So Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hand and caused the sea to split. According to this Medrash, Sefer Emunah Sitecho asks, if it was already a precondition that the sea will split for the Jewish people, why is it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to bring the bones of Yosef? And as we saw, that without the bones of Yosef, the sea would not split. Clearly, it is not necessary because it is already a precondition in creation that the sea will split for the Jewish people. Then why was it necessary to bring the bones of Yosef? And now Sefer Emunah Sitecho asks his strongest question, is that this verse that the sea had a condition, as we said, that it's written that Vayashav Ayam Lifnos Boiker Leisanoi, that the sea went back towards morning to its vigor, and we say that it went back to Litnoi Orishin, to its original condition, this verse should be written before the sea split. Meaning that there is two phases here in the splitting of the sea. First, Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his hand and the water split and became dryness. And then the Jewish people went into the sea and they went to the other side and the Egyptians were coming into the sea. Then Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his hand and the sea went back to its original strength. Meaning that the sea stopped its splitting and went and covered the Egyptians. The Medrash Rabbah that we just mentioned says that when the verse says that the sea went back to its original strength, meaning when the sea was covering up the Egyptians, there it's alluded to that there was a condition that the sea will split for the Jewish people. If that is the allusion of the verse, that allusion should be written when the Jewish people are first coming into the sea. When Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his hand the first time and the sea split, that is where the verse should mention or allude to us that there was a condition that the sea will split for the Jewish people. Not when the sea is going back to its original strength, meaning when it's covering up the Egyptians. Then why is the allusion that there is a condition in creation that the sea will split for the Jewish people, why that is written only when the sea is coming back and not the first time the sea is splitting? Sefer Emunah Sitecho brings also the Medrash Rabbah on Shmos Parsha Aleph, Siman Dalet, where there it goes on the first psukim on the book of Shmos, where there it names again the people who came to Egypt, and the Medrash is trying to explain why Hashem writes all the names down again, because we know who came to Egypt. Therefore, the Medrash gives a different spin on every name of every tribe, meaning that the Medrash explains the name of the tribes as something special that happened in Egypt. That the name Reuven comes from sea, and Hashem saw our affliction, and the name Shimon comes from language hearing, and Hashem heard our cry, and the word Levi comes from accompanying, meaning that Hashem was together with us, and it says that Hashem was together with us in our pain, as it's seen from the burning bush, as it says in Tehillim chapter 91, Imo Yanoichi Betzara, that Hashem is always with us when we are in pain. And then he explains why is it called Yehuda, because the Jewish people praised Hashem when they left Egypt, and it's called Issachar, because Issachar comes from the word reward, that Hashem gave our reward when we left Egypt, that we came out with a huge wealth, as Hashem had promised. And Zvulun comes from the word cleaving, because Hashem's Shechina, Hashem's divine presence, cleaved with us when we built the tabernacle after we left Egypt. And then the Medrash says that we are called Binyamin, because in the crossing of the sea we said to Hashem, Yamincha Hashem Nedori Bakoyach, that your right hand is glorified with strength. So Benyamin means a son of the right hand. And then the Medrash continues that it's called Dan. Dan is justice, because Hashem is going to bring justice over the Egyptians. And then he says that it's called Naphtali, because we made mitzvahs in Egypt. And in regards to mitzvahs, it's written in Tehillim chapter 19, verse number 11, Anechmodi mizav mipazrav, that they are more desirable than gold, more than quantities of fine gold, umesuki midvash, and they are sweeter than honey, venoifes, from the word Naphtali, tufim, and the drippings of honeycombs. And the name God refers to the man, as it's written in Parshas Beshalach, this week's Parshas, chapter 16, verse number 31, that the man was kazera, God, Lavan, was like white coriander, vetamo, in the taste was kasapichis, bidvash, like a cake fried in honey. And then the Medrash says that the name Asher comes from the language Asher, from the language of praise, that everybody that heard about our redemption from Egypt praised Hashem. And finally, the Medrash says that the name Yosef was because Al Shem She'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Le'Oisif Veligoil Es Yisrael Mimachlus HaRosho, that in the future Hashem is going to redeem us again from the evil kings, in the same way that we were redeemed from Egypt. Comes out that all the other names are names that refer to Egypt. The only name that does not refer to the enslavement in Egypt or the redemption from Egypt is the name Yosef. That Yosef means that Hashem is going to redeem us again in the future. And the question that Sefer Munzitecho asks, why specifically did the name Yosef change, that it doesn't refer to Egypt and refers to our future redemption? Theoretically, in the same way that the Medrash went out of his way to find the name of the tribes to something connected to Egypt, the Medrash could have found the name of Yosef connected to Egypt. Why does the Medrash change by Yosef and say that Yosef has to do specifically to the redemption of the future? Sefer Mnositecho answers all these questions based on what the Sefer Simchas Regel brings in the name of the Rama Mipano in Lumet Beis Remez Aleph, where there he explains that in truth the Jewish people should have been in Egypt for 400 years. But because the Jewish people were in such a level of impurity, as the Arizal explains, that if they would stay there a moment longer, they would have fallen into the 50th level of impurity, and from there it's very hard to get out. Therefore Hashem took them out before his time, and we were only in Egypt for 210 years. That means that it is missing 190 years, and he explains that since our neshamas are small neshamas, therefore it's taking over 2,000 years to get this exile over with. where then we are going to have a Geula Shleima, complete redemption. And according to this, Sefer Simchas Regel explains that this is the reason why we do Yachatz, why during the Seder we take the middle matzah and we divide it in two and we save the greater piece for the Afikoymen, for the future, for the hidden part, because since the redemption in Egypt was divided in two, it wasn't a complete redemption. There it was only the smaller part of redemption. The great redemption is going to be hidden in the future and when Moshiach will come. So therefore, the greater part of the matzah, which signifies the redemption, is saved for Tzafon, for the time when it is hidden, for the time of Moshiach. Then Sefer Musitecha brings the prophecy that is written in Yeshaya chapter 11, verse number 11, where there it says, "Vayo bayo mahu, it will be in that day, Yosef Hashem Shenis, Yado Iliknu Zesharamoy, that Hashem will again acquire the remnants of His people, that is going to be remain from Ashur, from Egypt, and from all the corners of the world." And then, on verse number 15, it says, "Ve'echrim Hashem es l'shon yam Mitzrayim," and Hashem will dry up the Gulf of Sea of Egypt. "Ve'hinif yodei al-anar bayom ruchoy," and He'll wave His hand over the river with the power of His breath. "Ve'kol l'shiva necholim," and He will break it into seven streams. "Ve'hidrich banolim," and He'll make the Jewish people walk in it across with dry shoes. And then it continues, "V'hoysa mesila l'shar amoy," Hashem will make a road for the remnants of His people, asher yishar mashur, that is going to be left over from Assyria, "kasher hoysu l'Israel," as it was to the Jewish people, "b'yoyim aloysoy meretz Mitzrayim," in the day that the Jewish people came up from Egypt. And afterwards, it's written clearly that when this is going to happen, then it's going to be Yismach HaShomayim, the heaven will rejoice, v'sogel oretz, and the earth will be happy. We see from this prophecy that Hashem promises that He'll again redeem us, and the redemption is going to be mimicking the Egyptian redemption, that we are also going to go across a dry sea. And therefore, says Sefer Emunah Sitecha, that when Medrash Rabbe was analyzing the name Yosef, he decided that he's going to use the same Yosef that is written by Yeshaya, that Hashem again is going to redeem us, to mean that this is not a complete redemption, that there is going to be a complete redemption in the future. And therefore too, in truth, the sea wasn't going to split for the Jewish people, because the condition that Hashem put in the sea was that the sea is going to split for the Jewish people when they're going to have a full redemption. Therefore, only after 400 years of enslavement, the sea was going to split. But since the sea saw that the coffin of Yosef is coming, and the word Yosef signifies that there is going to be another redemption, then the sea decided to split. And Sefer Musitecha explains it in a deeper level. And he explains that we know clearly that Yosef was in the house of Potiphar for 1 year. As it's written, "Kedabro Elof Meyoim Yoim," and the Medrash says that this was 1 year, meaning that the wife of Potiphar was enticing Yosef to commit adultery with her, and he won't listen. And also, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Heyomet Beis 35b, says that the garments that she wore in the morning, she did not wear in the evening, and the garments that she wore in the evening, she did not wear in the morning. In other words, she wanted to entice him. The Medrash Tanchuma goes as far as to say that she put spikes underneath Yosef's chin in order for him not to be able to bend down his head and avert looking at her. Nonetheless, even after a full year, Yosef would not listen to her. And Sefer Emunah Sitecha continues and explains that the Gemara there also brings down that every time the wife of Potiphar tried to entice him, Yosef had a reason and explanation why he would not have relations with her. Either it was that there is nobody in charge more than me, your husband trusts me, how can I do such a great evil, how can I sin to Hashem? The Gemara goes on to say that she said that I'm going to tear out your eyes. So he says, Hashem, Bekeach Ivrim, Hashem makes the blind see, and so forth. Every time she would entice him, he had an explanation why he wouldn't have relations with her. But came this day, and according to one opinion, the Gemara in Soita, Daf Lamed Vav Omed Beis 36b, Yosef actually came to have relations with her. And Hashem showed the image of his father in front of him, that compelled Yosef to be able to withhold himself and not having relations with her, and he ran away, because he saw that he doesn't have any more koach, nor doesn't have any more strength to withstand the test. Therefore, he decided that he is going to run away and not argue with her this time. And Sefer Munusitecho asks, if Hashem made that the image of his father should appear in front of him and that caused him to run away, then what is the big deal that Yosef was able to withstand the test of the wife of Potiphar? Therefore, Sefer Munusitecho explains that this is the ways of Hashem, meaning that Hashem sees that a person wants to fight over his evil inclination, and Yosef HaTzadik was able to withstand a whole year with her enticing him, and he was able to withstand and not have relations with her. Hashem realizes that there's a limit how much a person could take, because a person is made of flesh and blood. Therefore, Hashem comes to his aid, and Hashem does not let him fall in the test, because Hashem knows that without his help, nobody could survive all the tests. So therefore, after Yosef was able to control himself for a whole year on his own, even though now he's falling, Hashem makes sure that the image of his father appears in front of him and he doesn't fall. So he runs away because Hashem helped him, because he was able to control himself for a whole year. So Hashem helped him that he shouldn't fall in this test. And according to this, he explains that this is the merit that the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt, meaning that the Jewish people were also in a very low level, meaning that they kept falling in Egypt, and now they are in the level of 49, which if they stay longer, they'll be in the 50th level. And Hashem knows that there is a great danger to fall in the 50th level, and from there you may remain and not get out. Therefore, even though it was decreed that we should be 400 years in Egypt, Hashem made sure to take us out after 210 years. Because Hashem didn't want us to be without free will, because once we fall on the 50th level, our Bechira, our free will, is jeopardized because we are in such high level of impurity. And according to this, Sefer Munusitecho explains that this is the meaning of the Medrash. The Medrash says that Tayam Ra Vayanois, the sea saw that it rained. What did the sea see? The sea saw that Yosef also Vayanos Vayetze Achutza, that Yosef ran outside. Why did Yosef run outside? Because Hashem showed the image of his father in order for him not to fall, in order for him not to lose his free will, because Yosef was about to lose his free will because he couldn't withstand the test since he's made of flesh and blood. Therefore, Hashem saved him and Hashem made him look at his father, and therefore he ran outside. Therefore, the sea realized that the name Yosef is also that Hashem is going to redeem the Jewish people again, that this redemption won't be a complete redemption, it will be a partial redemption, but nonetheless, it's required to do that because Hashem wants to make sure that the Jewish people do not fall in the 50th level. So in the same way that Hashem helped Yosef not to fall completely to the wife of Potiphar, so too Hashem helped now here the Jewish people in order not to fall in the 50th level. Therefore, the sea split, meaning that since the sea saw what happened to Yosef, how Hashem helped him, even though on his own he probably would fall, that means that Hashem helps in order for a person not to fall completely. So to here, since the Jewish people were in the 49th level of impurity, the sea split in order to help the Jewish people. But even though originally the condition was that he's going to split one time, but the sea realized that Hashem has to redeem the Jewish people now in order not to fall, and the sea realized that the name Yosef means there's going to be another redemption, therefore the sea agreed to split. And according to this, Sefer Munusitecho explains, now we could understand why specifically when the waters are coming back on the Egyptians, it's written that the sea went back to Leisanoi, to its vigor, and we're saying that it went back to original condition, and we asked, why isn't it written the condition when the sea first split? And the reason is because you may have thought that once the sea first split, then the condition is already completed, and the sea does not need to split again, because the condition was that the sea is going to split for the redemption of the Jewish people, and since there was a redemption, then the sea does not need to split. Therefore, the Torah is telling you that even after the sea went back, still the sea went back to its condition, meaning it's still waiting for the original condition that the sea should split for the Jewish people, because the sea realized that this is not going to be a complete redemption, because we left before the time only because we weren't in the proper level, but it's going to be a time where the redemption is going to be complete, and then the sea will split again, as is prophesied by Yeshaya in chapter 11. Meaning that even after it went back on the Egyptians, and you may have thought that now the sea doesn't have any more conditions, it's telling you that the sea still went back to its original condition, which is meant that the sea promised that it will split again for the Jewish people when the full redemption will come soon in our days. The Medrash Peliya brings another interpretation on the meaning of the Medrash that says, Hayam ra'a vayanoiz, the sea saw and it ran. And the question is, what did the sea see? And we explained that he saw the coffin of Yosef, because by Yosef it's written that Vayonos Achutza, that he ran outside. So therefore, when the sea saw the coffin of Yosef, the sea split. And he explains, based on the machlokes between Yosef and the brothers, if before the Torah was given, the Jewish people have the category of Jews or the category of Bnei Noach, of Noachites. Meaning that before the Torah was given, they could keep the stringencies of Jews, but nonetheless, they cannot keep the leniencies of being Jewish, because they are still Ben Noach, they are still Noachites. Or before the Torah was given, they could keep the leniencies and the stringencies of a Jew. Meaning that Yosef believed that they basically have the law of a Ben Noach, and if they want to keep certain stringencies of the Jew, they could keep the stringencies of the Jew. But when being a Jew comes out as a leniency, then you also believe that we have to continue being a Ben Noach, because since the Torah wasn't given yet, therefore we have the law of a Noachite. And the brothers believed that before the Torah was given, once we became Bnei Israel, then we have the law of a Jew, even when it comes out to be a leniency. And we explained in previous Urim that the machloikas was Eiver Min Achai, that if you could eat a limb from a living animal, that it is prohibited for a Jew and a Noachite to take a limb of a living animal and eat it. But there's a difference between a Noachite and a Jew when the animal is considered still living. Meaning, according to Jewish law, you're required to make shechita. You have to make a ritual slaughtering of the animal. And once that ritual slaughtering was performed, then even though the animal is still throwing himself, still convulsing, nonetheless, the animal is halachically considered dead. And if you take a piece of the animal after shechita, it is considered a dead animal, and it's no longer a limb of a living animal. But according to Noahide law, since there is no shechita, there is no ritual slaughtering, death is defined by all cessation of movement, by everything not moving, and if the animal is still throwing itself, still convulsing, even though you did shechita on this animal, if you have the law of a Noachite, in that case the animal will still be considered alive, and you'll be guilty of taking a limb of the living animal. And we explained in previous Urim that Yosef saw the brothers taking a limb of animal after shechita and eating them, while the animal was still convulsing, and Yosef brought the evil reports of the brothers to the father, was these reports where Yosef held that they did a sin, and they thought that they didn't do a sin. There's another difference that applies if we decide that we have the law of a Jew or a law of a Ben Noach, that is how we acquire land, meaning that normally you acquire land by buying the land or by giving it as a gift, and you require to have a document of a gift. But if you are a Jew, then you could acquire the land by walking the land, meaning that if somebody gives you the land and you walk the land to the wheat and to the land, then automatically you acquire the land. But if you are a Ben Noach, a Noachite, you require to have a document of acquisition in order to acquire the land. Therefore, comes out that Hashem gave the land to Avram Avinu, and there in chapter 13, verse number 17, it's written, Kumisalach Ba'oretz Le'or Kol Rachbo, come walk the land in the length and the width, Kilecho Etenu, because I gave the land to you, meaning that Hashem gave the land to Avram Avinu and told him to walk the land, then technically we could call Eretz Yisrael acquired from Avram Avinu only if we hold that he have the din of Israel, meaning that if he has the din of a Jew, then since Avram Avinu walked the land to the land and the wheat, he acquired the land. He made an act of acquisition, an act of possession of the land. Therefore, the land is considered his. But if I hold that Avram Avinu has the law of Ben Noach, then walking the land is not yet an act of acquisition. He requires to conquer the land or actually receive a document for the land. By walking the land, it is not yet an act of possession. Then technically, Eretz Yisrael did not yet belong to Avram Avinu. It will eventually belong to Avram Avinu, but right now Avram Avinu is a stranger on the land. According to this comes out the following. By the covenant between the parts, by the Bris Ben Absorim, where Hashem told Avram Avinu in chapter 15, verse number 13, Vayomer Avram, it was told to Avram, Yodea Teida, you should surely know, Ki Ger Yezaracho, that strangers will be your children, Be'eretz Lo Elohem, in a land that is not theirs, Vavodum, they'll be enslaved, Vinoisom, they'll be afflicted, Abba Meyoshona, for 400 years, which means clearly that we are going to be strangers in a land that's not ours and will be afflicted and enslaved for 400 years. As we mentioned previously, we were only in Egypt for 210 years. And yet Hashem said that we are going to be there for 400 years. Then according to the opinion of Rashi, the 400 years started from the birth of Yitzchak, meaning that since Yitzchak was born till the time we left Egypt, it was 400 years. But that only works if I say that Avram Avinu has the law of Ben Noach. Because if Avram Avinu has the law of Ben Noach, then he never acquired the land. Then clearly Yitzchak did not inherit the land. Then Yitzchak is a stranger in a land that is not his. And Yitzchak was afflicted, he became blind. And according to the Ibn Ezra, he became poor. And Yaakov was afflicted. Therefore, we could count the 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak. But if I hold that before the Torah was given, Avram Avinu had the law of a Jew, then Avram Avinu acquired the land by walking the land, then Yitzchak was never a stranger in a land that is not theirs, because Yitzchak was in a land that was his by right, by inheritance from Avram Avinu. Therefore, we cannot count from the birth of Yitzchak, and since we were only in Egypt for 210 years, therefore we have not completed yet the time that we're supposed to be enslaved and afflicted. According to all this, Sefer Medrash Peliyeh explains the following, that the sea had an agreement, had a precondition, that after 400 years of the Jewish people being enslaved, then the sea will split, and the sea normally would count the 400 years from the 400 years when they came down to Egypt. And the sea knew that they were only in Egypt for 210 years. Therefore, the sea did not want to split, because the sea believed that it is not yet time for them to come out of Egypt. But when the sea saw the Jewish people carrying the coffin of Yosef, then the sea decided that it should split. Because since the sea saw the coffin of Yosef, and Yosef believed that we have the law of a Noahite, and if we have the law of a Noahite, then comes out that Avram Avinu never acquired the land, because by a Noahite walking the land is not considered an act of acquisition. That means that Yitzchak was a stranger in a land that was not his. Therefore, we could count from the birth of Yitzchak. And since the birth of Yitzchak there was 400 years, Therefore, the sea split. So only because the sea saw that the coffin of Yosef is coming, and Yosef held that we have the law of Benoach, therefore the sea split. Because had we had the law of a Jew, then we wouldn't have had completed the time yet, then the sea would have not split. And according to this, the Medrash Peliya answers another perplexing Medrash, which the Medrash says, Hayom ra vayano, is the sea saw and ran, ma ra, what did the sea see? Ra Yisrael boim, urechish Mitzrayim beyadam. The sea saw that the Jewish people are coming, and the Jewish people have the wealth of Egypt in their hand. And based on what we just said, we could understand this Medrash very easily, meaning that the sea again did not know if we completed the time or did not complete the time. If we have the law of Ben Noach, then we completed the time because we could count from the birth of Yitzchak. But if you have the law of Israel, then technically we did not complete the time because we were only in Egypt for 210 years. Once the sea saw that we came with the wealth of Egypt, then the sea knew that we have completed the time. Because since in the covenant between the parts is written that they're going to be enslaved for 400 years, Vegam Asagoya Sheyavo Edu, Dona Noichi, and also the nation that will enslave them, I will judge, Vacha Kein Yeitzu Birchush Gadol, and afterwards they will live with a huge wealth. That means that only after the 400 years we'll get the wealth. Once the sea saw that we are coming with the wealth, then the sea realized that we completed already the 400 years because we have the law of Ben Noach. Therefore, the sea split. Comes out that only because the sea saw that we have the wealth of Egyptians, then the sea understood that we had completed the time, then the sea decided to split. And Hashem Yisburach should help, as we mentioned previously, that in the same way that we had all the miracles during this redemption, we should have greater miracles in the next redemption, and this would happen soon in our days, and we should merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.